Hello, Professor Peter Lynham.
And how are you going, Johnny?
I'm good. We're wading into a big one today. Church and state.
Yes, indeed. And it's a really interesting one because this is an aspect of Supreme Court rulings in the States which have gone completely unnoticed in all the discussion of Roe versus Wade, but really are probably just as significant, certainly in the religious field. And this is the ruling made on the 29th of June that one Joseph Kennedy, no relation of the famous Kennedy family, was permitted with his school sports club to hold a kind of public prayer meeting on the grounds where they all knelt around him and prayed for the success of their games. This began in 2015, this dispute, and it's wound its way up to the Supreme Court.
Peter, I feel like I've seen a lot of American reality television with sports teams praying either in the changing rooms or on the field, you know, saying a quick prayer to God. I feel like that happens all the time. Is it a contentious issue over there?
Well, the particular context in which it's a contentious issue is in the public schooling system.
Mm.
You see, I mean, this would not matter so strongly if the institution, it's so many American sports teams are part of private universities, you know, Harvard, Yale, etc. And so they're not bound by these injunctions.
Mm-hmm.
But the public schooling system has been very definitely held by these injunctions for the past 40 years, which has ruled, well, it really goes back to 1950s, that there should be a dividing line between the church and the state, and that means any exercise of public prayer on the school grounds is unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
And this overturning of Joseph Kennedy's claim of his right to hold prayer with the boys in their sports game, it really does mark quite a change of shift, because the emphasis that the court took was that this was the exercise of the First Amendment. The First Amendment guaranteed the right to every citizen of the free exercise of their religion.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said this was the free exercise of Joseph Kennedy's religion.
Yes.
And that he should choose to do it in a public space and that the other boys would join. These were just other people exercising the free exercise,
mm-hmm.
the free exercise of their religious rights under the First Amendment. Now, see, what that means is that the boundary line between church and state suddenly becomes very, very fuzzy indeed.
It feels like it is becoming a lot more blurred, I guess, just in recent months, because both this and the Wade versus Roe seem like very religious-bound decisions, obviously.
Yes, and I mean, this one even more than Roe versus Wade, the one that overturned it, is directly on the subject of religion.
Mm.
You could say on Roe versus Wade, what was ruled illegal was the way in which the woman was allowed to exercise freedom over her body.
Yes, but heavily influenced by the church.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course. But they could disguise that fact. In this case, there's no disguising the subject. That, in fact, what it said is that the boundary line set back in the 1950s that suddenly threw prayer out of school is no longer as clear as it seemed. I mean, at the time, it seemed to me, well, I wasn't around in the 50s, of course, but it did seem to me, looking back on it, that it's not as easy a line to draw as you might think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you clearly can't stop people praying, but this was kind of public praying that was being forbidden.
Yes.
And this is certainly very public,
mm-hmm.
because you've perhaps seen the photograph. Of the whole team bowing in front of the stadium. So it's pretty dramatic.
Yeah, yeah.
Extremely public event.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing this every night. He trained a team.
Now, I mean, what do you think, Peter? Should he be allowed to do this in a public school, or should there be complete separation?
Well, before I answer that question, I want to say, actually, we're seeing more and more of this even in New Zealand sports games as well.
Yes.
Because, I mean, when you think about it, most Pacific Islanders will make an act of prayer. At the Olympics, it was very apparent. And in rugby league games, you will quite often see people, you know, making some sort of symbolic tribute to God.
Yes.
Kissing their cross or whatever. And I think that in an age where religion is kind of trying to increasingly sidelined in the general secular sphere, actually, Pacifica people don't accept that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, in fact, it may be being sidelined by some, but of course, in rugby league, it's the Pacific players who are dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing a great deal of it. And is that right or wrong?
I don't feel it's particularly frowned upon. I think it's in New Zealand, people just view it and go, well, you know, they're doing their bit. They're worshipping their deity or their god, you know, giving thanks or whatever it is that they're doing. But I don't think the public would really, New Zealand public probably don't care, you know, watching a league player give a shout out to God after they've just scored a try.
I suppose so. I mean, there's a little bit of coercion involved in that, you know, you're being watched. Say you take the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
You're being watched pretty publicly.
Yes.
So it's quite a powerful statement.
Mm-hmm.
And the Olympics historically has always tried to ban these kinds of public statements of any kind.
Yes.
Because they believe that the sports should be solely about the best, the fastest, etc. Mm-hmm. And that therefore, you know, remember the Black Power salute of the American athletes back in, what was it, 66 or 72? Mm-hmm. That was seen as so totally wrong. But by and large now, we've abandoned that line.
Mm-hmm.
And so our attitude is, let them do it.
Yes.
That's their freedom and right. Now, so what would be the difference of Fletcher doing it? I think the difference with Fletcher doing it is that as the coach, he has a kind of coercive power on the players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the sticky bit.
Do you think it's like peddling or giving, playing favourites with a particular kind of religion? I'm assuming that obviously the US is predominantly Christian, so a bunch of these schools are probably going to have Christian values pushed on these players.
Yes, not just Christian, very strongly evangelical or fundamentalist Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
is the style that uses this kind of public prayer.
Yeah, where's the space for where's the space for the Muslims and the Jews when this sort of Christian style of football is being pushed on us?
But it is interesting that Muslims clearly began to see in the story I sent you, you know, with a background to that, that some Muslims and some Jews were welcoming this and thinking, well, let's us do our little symbol as well. And I think that would be the logical next step, that you would need to allow and encourage, indeed, everybody to use sports as an opportunity for the statement of religious value.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that go crazy? Could this, in fact, cause more tensions rather than less tensions? I think it would cause more tensions.
Is the All Blacks doing a haka before a game? Is that some sort of, I'm going to be very ignorant when I ask this, but it's almost a religious type practice?
It's, remember you challenged me last week when I used the concept of a kind of liturgical behaviour that went on in Matariki.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the haka has a ritual significance.
Yes.
No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, it's in the area where it's certainly a Māori treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it is advocating a Māori system of values.
Yes.
Now, people probably don't think of it in that way, but for sure, therefore, it carries to some extent, a religious value.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think you've got to push the situation to extremes and think, where might this end up? And I think you can see it could end up very, very messily.
Mm-hmm.
If supposing we had on a sports team the Muslim boys feeling inclined to make some, I'm not sure what it would be, some kind of symbolic statement, just like the issue of veils for Muslim girls
mm-hmm.
becomes, you know, very, very contentious. And I think that what we might find is we'd wished we'd never encouraged this kind of thing.
Yes.
Because, especially for school kids, it just becomes chaotic
mm-hmm.
And potentially divisive.
Yes.
And that's the heart of the problem.
Yes.
That you want the sports to symbolise the kind of the sport for the sport's sake.
Totally. I'm right on board with this one, Peter. Mm.
But then the problem is, Johnny, how are you going to stop it?
Yes.
And now you can stop it by the Supreme Court because Kennedy lost his job over this
mm-hmm.
In the States. And because he was encouraging this kind of behavior, it was seen as undermining what the school stood for. And they said, we can't sponsor this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you could easily challenge somebody who was employed to develop teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, I don't think you could stop the boys doing it,
mm-hmm.
the players themselves.
Yes.
Because how would you penalise them?
Mm-hmm.
It's problematic to me. Now, you know that there's a huge movement going on, both in the States and extensively in New Zealand, of sports chaplains. So these sports chaplains get adopted either formally or informally by teams, and they stand alongside the players before they go out or after they go out and pray with them
mm-hmm.
and encourage them in their faith. And it's presumably linked to the same issues.
Yes. It seems, I mean, yeah, that seems pretty, it just seems very strange to me to employ a sports chaplain. Just practice some more. Oh. Don't rely on God to get you over the line.
Play it well, yes.
Yes, yeah.
Play the game.
Mm.
But let me now play devil's advocate on the other side.
Yes.
And say that sports is a set of values anyway. Sports is a kind of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And what these players are doing when they produce their Christianized version are saying, no, sport is not the ultimate. God is the ultimate. And so they feel obliged in this context to kind of protest the idea that all the cheers belong to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, no, the cheers don't belong to me. The cheers belong to my God who motivated me.
Yeah.
Now, is that tolerable?
Yeah, it gets pretty questionable, Peter.
It's a sticky one, and I think that in New Zealand, we've not had huge levels of this.
Yeah.
Because religion is not that strong in New Zealand overall. But in the States, you can see why it's causing a lot of puzzlement and concern.
Yeah,
because the coercive factors.
Yeah, someone has just texted through what happens if you don't take part in the prayer. It's quite exclusionary, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what struck me about the photograph of Kennedy with his boys playing. Mm. That looked like it was the whole team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Joining in.
Yes.
And there's got to be some room where people either form an Islamic circle or form some other kind of alternative. And that is where it would get nasty.
Mm-hmm. All right, Peter Lynham, thank you very much for this evening. We'll look forward to chatting to you next Monday.
Good luck. See you then.
Bye.